UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we thought?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you all doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Our guest tonight is Jamie in Massachusetts and he will be sharing a couple of his UFO sightings he had with his friend back in the 90s and a peculiar experience from when he was in first grade and later on getting hypnotic regression to try to get more clarity on what had happened. Jamie up next.
But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find the link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Nick.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from Massachusetts in the U.S.
Yes, sir, in good old Lawrence, Massachusetts.
Good old Lawrence. So you must be up there close to New Hampshire, is that right?
Yes, yeah, actually on the border of New Hampshire.
So you must be closer to New Hampshire than you are Boston.
Yeah, yeah. It takes me about 10 minutes to get to New Hampshire and about 45 minutes to get to Boston.
Right, good stuff. Okay, now, Jamie, you have experiences going back to when you're in first grade. Would you like to start at the beginning there, please, sir?
Yeah. Actually, mine is like a Hollywood movie. I have to start in the middle, then take you to the beginning, and then beat it back up and take it all the way back to the future, you know, like a Star Wars movie. So, yeah, back in 2018, I was living in Davenport, Florida. And at this time, I was already heavily into crystals, buying them, researching them, finding the one for me, putting them all around the house, all around the windows. I was lighting sage a lot, you know, burning lots of sage, had candles going, and also heavily into meditation. I've been meditating since an early teenager when I used to take martial arts class. So I would consider myself very open spiritually. Some people say a little too open. I need to ground myself more, which I feel I've already grounded myself plenty. But it was at this time where I was listening to your podcast, UFO Chronicles, number one podcast for UFOs and paranormal. The stories that I was hearing kept exciting me and wanting to pick up the phone and call my friend. I'm just going to say his name is Mr. O, my best friend since middle school. And I called him up And I told him, I said, hey, you got to check out this podcast. There's some really cool things in here you need to check out. And they're similar to what happened to us. And he was like, what are you talking about? So I had told him, I said, yeah, remember that time we were riding our bikes down the street late at night? We were going to go see these girls. We had a friend from middle school. She would have a whole bunch of friends over at her house. I would go hang out. We'd go hang out with her. So that night, that's what we were doing. We were going to see her. And all of a sudden, above us, there was these just two huge UFOs. They were like, it happened so fast. It was like a blur. If you blinked, you would have missed it. But we did not blink, and it happened so fast, and it was so close to us that I literally jumped off my bike on the middle of the road and lay down on the ground because I thought they were going to hit me, like in the head. But it's just that they were so large. Like if you hold your arms out in front of you from left to right, as if you're holding two beach balls, huge beach balls, two of them, that's how big they were up in the sky. And when I say two beach balls, that's the size of one of these objects. So there was two of them. So there was one in front and one slightly to the side behind it. I drew a picture of it to the best that I can with my memory. And I drew it, sent it to you so everyone could look at that picture that I drew. That was on Lincoln Street in Hudson, Mass. And we were riding towards the school. There's like a little elementary school over there. But we were going beyond that, and it was on that street, Lincoln Street. And so I mentioned this to Mr. O, and he said that he had totally forgotten about it. He's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I forgot about that. That's crazy. Then he told me some more details about it. He said that that night it was a meteor shower. So we were like riding our bikes, looked up in the sky, like seeing meteors, normal looking meteors from far, far away. And then as we go on, these two things, they were not meteors. They were not meteors. They were silent. They did not make any sound. Didn't even see like the wind move the trees or anything like that. And then he went on to tell me that he doesn't recall if we went on to see the girls afterwards. And if we did we tell them? And I actually saw this girl. Her name is Diane. I saw her at my high school reunion the other day, not too long ago. And I told her the story, and she was shocked about the story. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know about it? You're involved in it because I was going to see you. So if I saw this thing, I would have got to you and told you about it, right? She's like, no, you never told me about it. She couldn't remember anything about that. So Mr. O, Diane, and myself, we don't know what happened after this event. We don't know if we went on to see them, if we went home directly, how did we get home, and how come we haven't talked about it in all this time? So then that was just like a shock to him. So then he goes, hey, but don't you remember about that other UFO we saw? So I said, what UFO are you talking about? He was like, come on, man. Don't you remember when we were in my house? We were up in the bedroom freestyling. You were like hanging out, you know, like I rap, like we do our thing. So we were freestyling. He was kicking a rhyme. I was kicking a rhyme. So he was in the bed. This is at his house. Another time, same year, about 1991. I should have put that in there from the beginning. It's 1991. And this is in Hudson, Massachusetts. So this incident right here that he's recalling, he's reminding me of, took place over this little pond called Trip Pond. T-R-I-P-P Pond. We're up in the bedroom. He's freestyling. He's on his bed. And I'm like at the foot of the bed in a chair. And I'm near the window. And I can see out the window, and I could see the pond. He's saying his rhyme. Something out of the corner of my eye catches my attention. I look over, and I stop him in the middle of his rhyme, whatever he's saying. And I said, hey, you need to come over here and see this thing. I don't know what this is. Weird, like it's flying. It's like a UFO. He's already telling me, he's like, oh, if I get up there and there's nothing over there, I'm gonna kick your ass, or whatever. I'm like, no, you need to come over here and see this. Trust me, come over here and see this. So what I had seen was also a picture that I had drawn out for you, Nick. I sent that to you as well. Let me describe it for you. It looked like there was two plates, one on top, one on bottom. And then if you take those plates, right, and you pull them apart from each other and you create that space in between them, that space in between them was like a independently moving band. And on this band, there was these huge gems, like huge colored gems. And what stuck out to me about this part was the colors of these gems. The only word that I can use to describe these colors is pastel. They were pastel colored gems. And when I think back at it, they were literally like, if you're looking at an airplane and you see the windows on the side of an airplane, except for windows, they're gems. They're huge gems. And the whole band itself is spinning and it's silent. It's not making any sound. And then while it's spinning, it's moving in a direction, a certain direction over the water. And I'd say it was about 6 feet off the water. You know, like, I'm really surprised no one else seen this thing, because cars drive by this little pond in Hudson, Massachusetts, all the time. And I just happened to be in the window across the street in a house looking down at it. So anyways, Mr. O comes over. I get out of the way so he can look. And he goes, oh, yeah, look at that. I see it. And then he sees it elevate from the water and shoot off into the atmosphere. So after, you know, we exchange these stories, I draw these pictures and I have him draw what he can draw. Now, he doesn't live in this area anymore. He moved down south. I used to live down south, but I moved back up to the area. So now I'm back up in this area. But as I'm describing it to him, I'm living in Florida and he was living up here. So we've changed places a couple times. Yeah, he went on to draw it, so that I included that drawing to you as well. Now, it was just a shock that I didn't remember that second story. And it's also a shock that he didn't remember the first story. And we were both at these incidences together. How do we not remember that? It's almost like something happened where we were just not meant to talk about it, just meant to forget about it and just move on like it was nothing. And to me, that is wild. That is wild right there, because these are absolute incredible sightings, both of these sightings. So with that being said, I had to think about my whole life. Like, it was a life-changing experience. It made me think about my life altogether, everything, all the way to the beginning, and think of every weird occurrence that occurred. And when I did that, it was a rabbit hole, because there are many experiences that I cannot explain. And I never talked to anybody about, and never gave it some real good thought. So I just want to say thank you again, Nick, for your show, because it has gave me the courage and has jogged my memory enough, because some of these other folks, plain folks, just as me, they're witnessing things and I'm seeing similarities in what they're seeing and what I'm seeing, what I'm experiencing. So, you know, everyone can take it with a grain of salt, how they'd like, but what I'm telling you, what I saw is what I saw. And what I experienced my whole life, it's some experiences, and they're very strange. So again, let me take this back. After seeing those UFOs, I said, let me see what was going on, else was going on in my life. So I found myself thinking about a time in 1985, when I was just 6 years old. In 1985, I was in the first grade. I was going to the school named John Jacobs Elementary School. This school is in Phoenix, Arizona. And there was this girl in my class. I don't know how I ended up talking to her one day. It was definitely on the playground outside. And there's like a water fountain, like a drinking fountain there. I don't know. I'm in the first grade. I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't even know what I'm into really at that time. But I know that movie Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, was out. And my older sister used to watch that. So naturally, I would be in the room. I'd see it too, until things got scary and it was time to get out the room. But he was known for his claws, his gloves, his sweater, his hat, and his gloves. So his gloves had those long metal tips on it, like long razor blades or whatever. So I told this girl, I said, hey, you seen that movie Freddy Krueger? I'm Freddy Krueger. Check this out. I put my hand in the water and water started dripping off my hands. And, it, you know, it forms like a line off your fingertips. So she saw that. And I said, well, just give it a second. It'll turn into metal. She got scared and ran away. I thought it was hilarious. It was hilarious. She ran away. But then she came up to me, like at another time, she came up to me and she was like, hey, you know the Care Bears? And I said, yeah, the Care Bears, they shoot those little things out their stomach, little thing. I was like, yeah, my older sister, she's into that stuff. She watches that too. So every now and then I just be in the room sometimes and I see the Care Bears. Okay, cool. Not that I'm watching it, because I'm watching like Transformers, I'm watching He-Man, I'm watching G.I. Joe, you know, I'm doing wrestling, stuff like that. But yeah, my sister watches Care Bears, so I know about it. I've seen it before. So this girl in first grade in 1985, she's telling me that the Care Bears, they come and they pick her up sometime in the middle of the night. They pick her up, they hang out, they do fun things. She's all excited about it, telling me about the Care Bears. You know, they got the little cloud car. Okay, that's interesting. If they come and pick you up, then come scoop me up too. Let's go for a ride. Let me see what it do. Let's go hang out. Obviously, in the first grade, that's not how I'm talking. I don't even know how I'm talking. So, but that's the gist of it. Come scoop me up. Let's go for a ride. Let's hang out. And so her excitement was contagious. I was excited after that. Like, oh, they're going to come get me. We're going to go hang out. Because I remember this, when it was time to go to bed, I couldn't sleep. It was almost like I couldn't sleep. I was too excited. And I didn't want to take off. I didn't want to get into my pajamas. I wanted to have my pants on, my shoes on, my shirt on, ready to go. So I think I had a good amount of clothes on in the bed. And it was a bunk bed. So there was the bottom bunk and the top bunk. I got on the top part this night. And it was just me in this room. It was my own room. So I could choose whichever bunk I wanted at the time. I wasn't sharing it with nobody. My sister had her own room. I was at the top. And the head of the bed was near the window. And where my room was in this house was on the right side of the house. Like if you're in the house looking out, it's on the right side of the house. So I'm on the right side, on the side. So outside of my window, there's a fence. There's a front yard where I can see the neighbor's driveway. I can see the sidewalk. I can see the street. And I can see the street lamp out there. And I can see where the light is emanating from. Then on the other side of the fence, in the middle of the window, there is the backside, the backyard. So I can see, like, there's the side of the house, there's a fence, and there's the yard. So it's late. I'm waiting for them to come. I fall asleep. But next thing you know, I'm awakened and I'm in the cloud car. It's hard to explain. It's even hard to get this out. It's hard to put it into like steps on what happened next. I recall being in the cloud car. This is my memory, okay? I'm in the cloud car and we're going up and I could see the streetlight that I just described to you. It's in front of us. And we go towards it and we go up over it. And then I see the clouds and I'm like amongst the clouds. And I'm just looking outside of the cloud car and I'm just baffled, just like in awe, like, oh, this is cool. Like, wow. And I'm clouds as if you're in an airplane and you're going up and you see the clouds. It was just as simple as that. As an adult, you know, you look out the window and you see the clouds when you're flying up. But that's how it was for me. As a six-year-old kid, it's in this little cloud car with the Care Bears and this girl, okay? But let me just tell you right now that even though I was in this cloud car with these other people, whatever they were, I don't recall seeing any Care Bears. I didn't see the Care Bears at all. But I was in backseat, and I looked to the front where the driver would be, and I knew there was two of them. I could tell that there was two energies there, but I couldn't see them, but they were there. And I said, where is so-and-so? It's so long ago. Trust me, I don't remember this girl's name. I apologize for not remembering this girl's name, but I asked for her. I said, where is she? And they responded back that she's right there in the back seat next to me. So I look, and there she is. She's curled up in a ball, sleeping. And so I'm trying to wake her up. Like, hey, wake up. Like, I'm here. Like, what's up? I'm trying to wake her up. She wouldn't wake up. And then that's all I remember. I'm in school the next day. I see the girl, and I'm just thrilled with joy. I go up to her, and I'm like, hey, that was cool. Thanks for picking me up last night. That was awesome. I saw you, but you were sleeping. I tried to wake you up. And she responded simply, yeah, every time they come pick me up, I'm usually sleeping. I sleep a lot when they come to get me. That's what I recall her saying. And it was the weirdest thing ever. But what makes it even weirder is that I did have a UFO regression based on this incident. You had Nick, you had on your show an episode where somebody had a UFO regression as well. And they named the person who did it. So I called you up. I got that information, and I had her do it to me as well. Her name was Amber. I had her do the UFO regression about this certain incident. It's weird because when she did the regression on me, it seemed like I was like reading a book, and I was just, who wrote this? Is this really happened? Like, I'm surprised at what I'm saying during the whole session, you know? But pretty much when they came to get me, okay, now this is through the eyes of the regression now. I can see the whole wall by my bed just open up, and it seemed as if there was like a bridge from their flying vessel, which, I don't know, I feel like it was small. It was like miniaturized or something. And I would get on this bridge that was actually like a conveyor belt that would take me from my room to where they were. But it wasn't like a physical thing. It was just like a light, as if you walk in and a light. So I go from my room to the ship through the wall. Not the wall opened up. It's like a hole. So I'm not going through the wall, like experiencing. It's just jumping out the window. You know, you're not going through the wall. You're just jumping out the window. So I'm going through this part of the wall into what seems to be like the cloud car to me. It does actually look like the cloud car. Like, I get into it, you know? And then we go up into the sky, and then we get to the part where I'm excited and I look over to them. And that's where I don't see the entities. I don't see them. I see, it's almost as if the memory part of this moment, somebody went into this memory part and blotted out these individuals. So that you can see where they're blotted out, but you don't see them. I don't see them during the regression. So I just found that very interesting that I don't see them during the regression. I know where they're at, but it's as if they're edited, they're censored. I can't see them. Anyways, I end up in the inside of the ship, which does not look like a cloud car at this point. It looks like an actual ship. We're inside of it almost looks like a warehouse. Like, it's huge, it's metal. I'm in there, and they're looking at her. They're not looking at me. I'm just there as like comfort to her or something like that. They take her around the corner, and they're doing whatever. For some reason, I'm not allowed to go around the corner. I can't go over there. I'm stuck where I'm at. And again, this is all through the regression. It's a memory through the regression that I did not remember. This is what the regression is making me remember. So that's why I was like, who wrote this? What story is this? I don't recall this. I'd never seen this before. So it was weird. The UFO regression is weird. But the only thing that I really got out of the regression part was that when I looked at them, they were blotted out as if they were erased on purpose. And that was a weird thing that stuck out to me. And then to top it off, Nick, I decided to take a look at an episode of the Care Bears. Me as an adult male right now, like, I watched an episode of the Care Bears on YouTube the other day for the first time in my life, and it was weird. And I actually got braces recently, trying to fix my teeth. So I got braces. So it just so happened that the Care Bears episode was called Braces. So I watched it. And man, let me tell you, this thing is weird. This Care Bears stuff was weird, man, because first of all, They're in their cloud car. They're in the clouds. And they're looking down on people on Earth. They're watching people on Earth. And I guess this kid got braces and everybody's making fun of her at school. So the Care Bears are like, ah, that's not cool. Let's go down there and they befriend her. So they float down to the Earth in their cloud car. No one sees them. They land. They get out of the car. As soon as they get out of the car, the cloud car disintegrates. It disintegrates. And they get out and nobody sees them and they hide in the bushes. Nobody sees them. It was the weirdest thing. It was the weirdest thing. Watch an episode of this stuff and you'll see how weird it is. But anyways, back to more weirdness over here. Besides the Care Bears, other things that happened throughout my life were lots of reoccurring dreams. I would have lots of dreams where I was flying, found myself bouncing. It's more like a bouncing. And I always try to stay up and I float for a little bit. And then I just end up coming back down and bouncing back up. I had lots of reoccurring dreams in my old elementary school where I met Mr. O. And it's always like a dream where I get into the school and I could see the classmates in their classroom. And then I try to approach the classroom and then they're empty. Then everything in the school is dark. And I hear somebody coming in from the other side, but for some reason I gotta hide and run from them. And it sounds like the whole school is metal, as if I'm in a tank and it's like a metal tank. So that's a reoccurring dream that I've had for the longest time. I just find it weird. I don't understand it. I would also wake up in the middle of the night to loud clap, like a big clap. And I'd wake up. Did you hear that? What was that? I don't know. Always a clap in the middle of the night waking me up. And also from the time that I was in first grade to middle school, high school, I had bloody noses, lots and lots of bloody noses. I remember one time I came home and I was talking to my dad and blood started coming out my nose and we tried to like stop it. And he noticed something in my nose and it was like a sack of blood. Must have been about 6-7 inches long. And he pulled it out. I can feel it coming out like of my throat. And he pulled it out. Anyways, I'm just saying that because I hear lots of your guests talk about bloody noses too. So I wanted to point that out. But yeah, there's other experiences. One time when I was living in Methuen, Massachusetts, this was 1996, I had an out-of-body experience at home. It was weird. It was very interesting. And I've always been trying to feel that feeling again. I found myself on my bed one day after school. I was extremely tired. I remember getting on the bed, like laying on my back with my boots still on, my pants still on, everything on, laid on the bed. And all of a sudden, I'm awake and I'm staring at the ceiling. I'm staring at the ceiling and I'm looking at it in great detail. I'm looking at all the little granules up there, it's like textured ceiling. So you're looking at all the little bumps on the ceiling. And then it dawned on me, why do I see the ceiling in great detail right now? Why do I see it so clear? I had the urge to reach up and touch it. So when I went to with my right arm to reach up and touch it, it was impossible to move. It was so hard to move my arm. I couldn't move it. And I tried. And I tried and I tried. Eventually, I did get my arm up with great struggle. And when I thought I was going to hit the ceiling, I completely missed the ceiling. Nothing. Like I could have sworn I was going to just scrape the ceiling with my hand. But no, my hand flopped all the way down like a rock. It was weird. Yeah. So after that, I thought to myself, okay, I looked at the ceiling a little more, and when I did, I noticed that I can look all around in all directions at the same time. I can see left, right, behind me, forward, all around at the same time. So I thought to myself, okay, let me go over to my mom's room and see what's going on. And it was almost as if, like, when I finished the thought, I was there in my mom's room, but also I recall experiencing the movements from going from my room through the door close to the ceiling, walking as if I'm walking, but I'm floating. And then go into my mom's room. I'm seeing it. She's not there at the time. But I turn back around and I go, because I go to see my sister's room. I thought about seeing her room, my little sister. And I went over there and checked out her room. And I could, like, see her on the floor, like, kneeling up on the bed, like, you know, coloring in her little coloring or whatever she was doing. And then I ended up back into my bed, waking up. And it was the weirdest thing. Because I know I could have sworn I was going to touch the ceiling. And I didn't touch the ceiling. I was far from the ceiling. So that was weird in itself. Don't even know how I got into that state of being paralyzed. I don't know. It was weird. Looking back at it and listening to many of your episodes, Nick, I realized now that I was having an out-of-body experience at home. That was weird. So that was in 1996.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
There was another time in 1999 where I had actually moved out of Massachusetts. I had moved to Pennsylvania. I was living in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. And I was definitely sleeping one night. I was asleep. It was like September, one night in September 1999. Just knocked out, sleeping. And this ball of energy comes to me. Like, you know, on TV, you back in the day, once it goes past a certain hour, I'd say like 1 o'clock a.m., the programming, the TV shows would stop. And they'd give like the national anthem or something. Then it'd be like snow, static. Well, that's what this ball of energy was like. That snow on the screen back in those days was just a ball of energy in front of me. And it was a familiar ball of energy. And me in this, whatever, wherever I was at, it was a dream state, whatever it was. I was also a ball of energy too, because I looked down on myself. I didn't have no physical arms, legs, none of that. So I was a ball of energy too. So this other ball of energy comes up to me and I said, "What are you doing here?" And in response, I get, "Oh, drug overdose." And I said, "What?" And it responded back to me again. It said, "Yeah, don't do drugs. They cloud up your mind." Now, in response to that, okay, to this energy ball that's in front of me, sending me this information. I'm familiar with this energy ball. Like, I know this energy ball. So I say to this energy ball, I say, "That doesn't sound like you. You're always into drugs." And I did like come on, son. Like, you know, they use a hand movement. Like, you push them away. Like, "Ah, get out of here." Like, "Yeah, come on, man." So I did that. They responded to me like, "Don't do drugs. They cloud up your mind. And they just mess up your vision," whatever. Like, they cloud up your path. You don't see you straight. That's the gist of what I got. I was like, "Come on, try and get out of here," like that. And when I did that, they left. They were gone. Like, they were out of here. And that was that. And I was like, "What?" I woke up. I was like, "What in the world was that?" It was the realest. It was one of the realest things that ever happened. Like, what was that? I don't know. So that was a certain night in September or something like that. So a few months later, it was Thanksgiving time. So I'm living in Pennsylvania and I want to go back home and visit mom and the family, see how they're doing. So I go back home. And when I get back home, I hit up the homies like, "Yo, what's going on? Let's just hang out." So we're hanging out. And I say to one of my boys, I say, "Yo, let's go pick up Jen. Let's go see what she's up to." One of our mutual friends, actually, he introduced me to her. So let's go pick up Jen. And at this point, we're already drunk. We're already laughing and giggling over being drunk 20-year-olds or whatever we were at that time. And he says to me, he goes, "Jen, man, what's wrong with you? You didn't hear? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, man, she died from a drug overdose a couple months ago. I was like, get out of here. Like, you serious? Nah, nah, nah. You can't be serious right now. You telling me that our friend Jen died from a drug overdose a couple months ago and no one called? This is before MySpace. This is before Facebook. This is before Instagram. This is before cell phones. So the only way you would communicate was with the regular phone on the wall, if you had the numbers, or you'd write a letter, you know? So I'm used to getting letters, writing letters and stuff. And at this time, I never got no letters. No one called me. No one told me anything about my good friend, Jen, dying from an overdose. No one told me that. Mm-mm. So this was a shock to me at that moment. And I started crying, man. I started bawling, bro. But then I realized, I said to my friend, I said, when did she die? What date? They pulled it like the news clipping, the news article, whatever, had the date on it. You know, this is the same date that I had that little experience, that dream with that fuzzball. This was the same date. That was actually her coming. And that floored me right there. And the thing between Jen and I was just like, she was a great person, a great friend. We had a relationship. That was more than just friends. And we actually, like, I remember a time that her and I think we were doing, like, ecstasy or something like that. And it just got weird to me because I was starting to read her mind. I could read what she was going to say next. And I've never experienced that before. So I kind of got nervous. And I said, yeah, I got to go. I got to go home because I don't know what's going on. And so, yeah. So her and I, we had a deep connection. So the Jen story gets weirder because after that, it was about, so that was in like 1999 when I experienced the little fuzzball energy thing. So in the year later, in 2000, I had moved back to Massachusetts. I was living back in Hudson, Massachusetts. And it was one of those nights where I was extremely tired and I went to sleep. And in my sleep, I find myself going down this back alley, this back arc alley. And I find, well, how do I say it? I don't even know what it's called. But up north, we have basements and you have the doors that are the back door of the basement. Sometimes you got to go down these steps to get it. Sometimes there's this metal door that swings upward. You know, there's two doors, left and a right door. You open it up. Bulkhead, I think that's what it's called. Yeah. So I find this bulkhead and I go down these steps because in this dream I had to go pee. That's what it was. I had to go pee. So I'm like, let me go down this back alley. Let me find a little spot. Let me handle my business. So I find a little bulkhead, open it up, and I go down these steps. When I get down these steps, there's a microwave, a digital microwave on the right. And I'm looking at the microwave and I'm trying to read the numbers on it. I could not read what time it was. It was a digital microwave. I couldn't read the time. I couldn't make sense of any of the time. But I knew it was a microwave. So then it's at this door, the bottom of the bulkhead. I go through the bulkhead like a walkway, like a hallway. I go down this hallway, and at the end of this hallway is a chest freezer. Chest freezer. Like you open the lid up and away from you. It was a chest freezer. So at the beginning of the hallway, there's a microwave. At the end of the hallway, there's a chest freezer. And then all of a sudden, to my left, there was this, like a doorway. Not a door on the doorway, just doorway into a room. And in this room, it was almost like there was two beds, one on the left and one on the right. And all of a sudden, I see Jen. I see my friend Jen. And I'm like, what's up? What's going on? Like, what are you doing here? What's going on? She's like, yeah, this is where I stay now. And I look behind her and I was like, well, who's that? She's like, oh, that's my mom. She doesn't say much. She doesn't come out and talk much. She doesn't, you know, have many guests or visitors, whatever it was. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm talking to Jen and just like reminiscing on a few things. I can't really remember what we talked about, but as it was one point where she like walked towards the entrance that I came in. And so I saw her backside. And when I looked, like, you know, as a guy, you know, you tend to look at a chick's butt when she's walking away. And this is somebody that I had a relationship with. So I looked. There was no butt. There was no crack in them. There was nothing. It was weird. That was weird to me. And I don't know. It's hard to explain how she looked, but there was like no sexual things, like no, you know, it was her, but it wasn't like that. But anyways, I thought that was weird. And I told her I had to go pee. So I still had to go pee. So let me get out of here and go pee real quick. And I'll come back down and talk to you. So I left and that was it. It was the end of the experience for that moment. There was another time where I was still living there in Hudson, and it was one of those nights, deep sleep. The room that I stayed in had no windows. But all of a sudden, the door opened, and there was a cold breeze come in. And I'm asleep in my bed now, you know? I'm laying on my back. I feel the cold breeze come in. And I find myself, like, paralyzed, not being able to move. So something told me just to relax and calm down. So I did. And it was that same familiar feeling. It's like a feeling you get when you know a familiar person is in the room. So that's what I got, a familiar feeling. Long story short, I think it was Jen. And I think she came in and had her way with me. Because it was a happy ending and all that. And I was paralyzed, could not move. And that's what I think that was. I don't know. Grain of salt, but that's what I experienced. Her and I had a good relationship in the real life, and we experienced many things. And I guess in the afterlife, she came and visited me a couple more times, and we had fun too. I don't know. I don't know what to chalk that up as, but that was something weird right there. There was another incident a couple years later in 2004, I found myself living in Florida. I moved in with my mom. She had moved down to Florida, was living in Palm Coast. I moved down there too. They got me up in Boston to come down to Florida. Come on. So I go down to Florida and I'm there like not even a week, man. Not even a week. And I'm experiencing some things. She had ended up remarrying for a short time. And she had like a altar, you know. I'm Puerto Rican, family's Spanish, we're all Puerto Rican. So in our culture, they, you know, there's like pennies in a jar by the door, you know, a horseshoe over the door, you know. I'm sure lots of cultures have little trinkets and things that they do as well. In our culture, we'd probably put like a cigar, maybe a bowl of water, maybe like a little dessert. I don't really know what it's all for. Like, you know, my ancestors could tell you. I know it's like for blessings or spiritual communication, something like that. I don't know too much about it. I wasn't taught all that. But my mom at that time did have an altar in a certain room, in a certain corner. But me at that time, I didn't know anything about whatever it was that I just said. Altars. I didn't know about that. So I walk into the house, just moved down there, Palm Coast. I'm, you know, we had a family piano, and this family piano, I go to play with it, like, you know, play with this thing. And next to it was this, you know, rocking chair with a doll in it. There's like this wooden cane. There's, you know, there's a bowl of water, there's a jar of pennies, you know, all these little things. So I'm like, oh, cool. Look at this cane. I grab this cane. I'm like, looking at it, playing with it, walking around with it. Oh, that's what's up. You know, like a pimp. They would walk around with a limp, you know, doing stuff like that. Stupid stuff, ignorant stuff, whatever. My sister was like, hey, don't be messing with that stuff. Don't touch that. You know, you don't want to. You know, she gets real nervous about it. And I was like, what's wrong with you? So I put it back. Think no mind of it. Okay. I sit down and I start watching TV. This TV was a big, like, 50-inch TV. Like at that time, it was, you know, you were balling if you had a big TV like this. So I'm like, okay, we got the big old TV. Okay. And it's like one of those U-shaped couches or L-shaped couches, whatever, in front of it. So the shape of the couch is straight towards the TV, and straight behind the couch, like about a good 15 feet, there's the front door. right there, glass door. You can see shadows if somebody's at the front door, if I turned around to look at the front door. But I'm watching TV, and I'm watching TV for a while. I think I fell asleep. My sister's off in her room, the other side of the house. I think I fell asleep. I woke back up, and I'm watching TV. I don't know. For some reason, something tells me to turn around. So I turned around, and when I turned around, Nick, that little doll in that little rocking chair was sitting behind me in front of that front door in the chair. Like, it's not moving, nothing like that. It's just in the chair by the front door behind me. When did this little doll get up and move because they want to watch TV? What is going on here? That scared the crap out of me, man. So I got up and I went to my little sister's room. Boom, 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 knock on the door. Like, yo. What, you trying to play games with me over here? You got this, you moved this doll over here, trying to scare me or something? Like, come on. She's like, what are you talking about? I didn't move no doll. Okay. Now that, yeah. Thing, that was weird, man. Just recalling it, I'm getting freaked out. but yeah, I thought that was just something I had to bring up about that doll. And then, many years later, 2020, I'm in Davenport, Florida, I'm in Florida, and I needed to buy a microwave for my apartment that I was living in, and I found one like on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or something like that, met with the lady, bought it, brought it home, used it for quite some time I used it. Then one night, at the time I was dating somebody, she was sitting on the couch, like in front of the TV, and I was washing the dishes, doing something over there. I cooked or something, I made whatever, I was washing the dishes. And then to my left is the microwave. I'm washing dishes. Something tells me to look at this microwave. So I look at the microwave. It had 5 seconds on the clock. Like, you know, like if you have, like, you put something in for 20 seconds, then you stop it, and the time that's remaining is just remaining. You either have to clear it out or start it, you know, whatever. So I didn't clear it out. I didn't start it. It just, it was there from whoever used it last. 5 seconds on the clock. I'm watching this. So I consciously made a note that, all right, that's how much time is on the clock, and I'm continuing washing dishes. Next thing you know, the microwave turns on. It just starts. It turns on, and I get goosebumps all over the side of my body. The side that's closest to the microwave, I get goosebumps. Chills go up and down my spine, like, what is going on? Why am I, what is this? And I scream to my girl, like, yo, check this out. Look at this. Do you see this? It was, she's like, yeah, the microwave's on. What? And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't turn it on. I didn't start this thing. It's on. And the time is not moving on the clock. It's not counting down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It stayed on. And I'm just freaking out. And then all of a sudden the microwave stops. It stopped. And I was like, what was that? Well, why did it just do that? And like, I literally got the chills. I felt that. Like, it was cold. It was chilly. Goosebumps. And then it just went away and it stopped. So a couple days later, I think like a week later, matter of fact, I come home. My girl at the time, she's not there. It's just me. I come home and the microwave's on. The microwave is running. It's on. So I quickly just unplug it. Just shut this thing off, unplug it. And I'm like, nah, I ain't having that. Nah, you ain't freaking me out today. So I take this microwave. I go and I trash it. I dump it. Just threw it away. Sometime afterwards, I go to Home Depot and I buy a new one, put it in the shopping cart, and I'm walking out of Home Depot, get out of the doors, walk out of the building, walk into the crosswalk. And this car is just sitting there in the crosswalk. And I go in front of it to get around it. Then all of a sudden, the car hits me. The car just floors it and hits me. As if they didn't see me. I had a big lawsuit about this whole thing. They didn't see me. They weren't even looking at me. They hit me. And I go flying, the shopping cart goes flying, the microwave stays in it. I bring it home. Still got it. But that's the story of the microwave. That was some weird stuff with that microwave. I don't know what its problem was, but it had to go. And replacing it, I still had some problems replacing it. That was weird. But I just got a couple more things to tell you. I did have a past life regression. And this past life regression was awesome. I was able to see myself in past lives. And one of the lives that I saw myself as, I was a fighter pilot. I was a blonde-haired, like dirty blonde-haired, bluish-greenish eyes, something like that, fighting. I think I was fighting for France in one of the world wars. And I was from like Norway or Finland, something like that. But when I saw myself as this fighter pilot, I instantly knew that that is why I drive my car the way I drive my car today. I drive it like I'm flying a freaking jet down the highway, top speed. It's like the Need for Speed. I don't know. But the past life regressions are very interesting. I saw many lives. And each one of those lives that I saw, I did see a glimpse of myself in my current life now, which is scary. But it ultimately made me understand what I need to change or what fears are holding me back in certain places. Not that they're bad things, because I was enjoying myself in every life that I saw myself in. But there were certain things that I knew I needed to change in this life so I don't end up like that from those lives, which is the way I'm living now anyway. So it made me change my life altogether, having past life regression. And the person that did the past life regression, she was great. She goes by the name of Desert Rose, and she has a Desert Love podcast on Facebook. And she is phenomenal. Let her know that I sent you if you go talk to her. Then, yeah, there was this other time in 2001. I'm in Florida, Davenport, Florida still. I get to my house, and I was with my girlfriend at the time. We walk in the house, close the door behind us, put like a bag of groceries on the counter, and then next to the counter is the sink. Next to the sink is the refrigerator. My girlfriend at the time, I think, opened, like she was just about to open the refrigerator, like just about to open it, but didn't get there quite yet. Then all of a sudden, from behind the refrigerator comes a white orb, like an orb just flying from behind the refrigerator, past her, past the front door, past the front windows, past the TV, towards the back hallway that leads into the bathroom. And this white orb just flew silently to that area. And I was like, did you see that? She was like, yeah, you saw that too? We confirmed that we both saw this thing. There wasn't no car outside driving by because all the blinds were closed. So it wasn't letting in light, you know. So they weren't open yet because we just got home. So no car outside could have had like a shimmer of the sunlight gleaming off of it and bouncing to my house like that. It wasn't like that. This was an orb. That was the first time I've ever seen an orb. But that was in 2021. Yeah, but recently I did have another Zoom where I was flying. Here in Boston, we got the subway, and, you know, it was as if I was down in the subway system and I was flying. But the flying was more like of a swimming, like I'm swimming through and I'm trying to stay afloat. Like I got to come back up, get some air, and I eventually sink back down and I'm flying. But it's a swimming technique, swimming motion. That's what I was doing. I recall this. But what made me remember this whole dream was that somebody on the ground, like this whole place was empty, but there's somebody walked into the room on the ground and looked up at me and said, hey, you're flying. And so I got excited. I said, yeah, and you can do this too. We all have it in us. Like, Nick, I don't know where that came from. I don't know what that was, but I was super excited because I actually had an interaction with somebody in this dream that never happens where I have an interaction like that. And for me to say like a positive thing, like I said, you could do it too. You have it in us. We all have it in us. It sounded like I was a game show host or something. It was weird. But that was the most recent thing that happened. Oh, and shout out to Empathic Healer 369 on Instagram. She'd be reading my card. She's very good at what she does too. Check her out. But pretty much that's all I have for you, Nick. That's my whole story from front to back. Yeah, I know it's a lot. Hope I didn't bore anybody to death, but I find it pretty interesting.
Good stuff, Jamie. Interesting. You know, where have you been? You've been listening to the show for a while.
I've listened to every single episode that you have. Every single one intrigues me. There's certain ones that stick out. Like, you got some good episodes. And that's what gave me the courage to come out and tell you my experiences.
And you've got it all as well. I mean, it's also a lesson for anyone that buys off Craigslist. You know, because sometimes you never know what you're going to get. You know, we've had guests on before which have had haunted objects from paintings and furniture and stuff. I think that's the first time I've heard a microwave mind. But I have heard of many different things from electric wheelchairs. I've heard an account of that before.
Oh, wow.
Cars, obviously. I think it's anything which is kind of connected to someone. I don't know how someone would be so connected to a microwave mind, but... You know, it does happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a first-hand experience. I've definitely experienced that. It does happen.
Do you think there's a chance that someone else picked up that same microwave?
Well, I mean, I definitely, like, put it on the side of the dumpster, you know. So I don't know if somebody picked it up afterwards, but I definitely trashed it. I didn't try to sell it back, you know, gift it to somebody. I definitely trashed it.
It reminds me of that scene. At the very end of Poltergeist, do you remember where he kicks the TV out the hotel room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that movie, Poltergeist. And it's funny you say that. There was a scene in that movie, Poltergeist, that leaves me with questions. And it's that moment when they leave the house. They're driving away from the house. Everybody's in the car. But then all of a sudden, you see a car headlights behind them. But that's it. It doesn't, like... It made me feel like someone was about to chase them. Something more was coming. Something more, like they could have had just a little more. They could have given us a little more with that scene. But that's what it is. What it is.
They sometimes do that with movies, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to your UFO sightings. Now, the sighting that you had, Lincoln Street, is that right? Back in 91?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, you sent me the drawings, which I'm going to put below in the description and on the website so people can go check them out. These objects, these UFOs were large.
Yeah. Yeah, they were large. Like I said, I thought they were going to hit me in the head. It made me jump off my bicycle onto the ground and duck.
So you're traveling up the road. And now, are they coming towards you or are they passing overhead and going straight ahead of you?
They're coming towards me.
Coming towards you, right. And very, very low.
Yeah, very low, fast, and silent.
You know, looking at your picture, looks like they just would have obscured most of the sky. They would have just filled the sky with their sheer size.
They definitely did. They definitely did. It was enormous. I don't see things like that in the sky. Enormous.
And could you make out any detail of these objects?
No, because it happened so fast, and it just scared me. It was like a reflex. Like if someone makes a loud bang, a sound behind you, and you jump. You know, like, it's just that reflex. When they appeared so bright and so fast, I felt like I just had to get out of the way and duck. So, you know, to get on the ground, they're overhead, they're gone. You know, there's nothing to look back at. There's nothing. It's just, that was it, you know. But the weird part was when I was recalling this memory with Mr. O, we both said we don't remember going to see our friends. Or riding back home, or ever speaking about it again. So we're wondering how long were we really there for? Like, how long did it really happen? We have no clue. We're just lost at that moment.
And like you said, you know, if you're just seeing these, you know, these objects, and you go and see a friend, this is exactly what you say. You tell her that, you know, guess what we've just seen.
Yep. And she said that she didn't recall us saying that. Anything remotely close to anything like that. We've gotten to go see her several times in the night. This was a routine, if you would. We've done this a couple times. So I don't know how this one time, this one thing happens and we never even spoke about it again. That's weird.
Don't
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
When you had the regression before, did you bring up this event?
I did tell her about other events, but the one we wanted to focus on was the Care Bears, that event. So we just did just that.
I see, right. I'm just wondering if anything may have happened on that particular day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to go back and talk with her some more about other things, you know, but there's just a lot of things that I have questions about, you know.
I mean, we could probably safely say, you know, when it comes to the Care Bears, about 90% sure that it wasn't Care Bears that, you know, you had an experience with.
Yeah, I believe so too. Like I said, their image was blocked in my mind, in my memory, so I couldn't actually see anything. It was just like a blotted out. You can see that there was something there, but somebody just with the eraser just erased it. So you don't see through it, beyond it, behind it. You just see where something should have been, but now it's completely erased. It's gone when the memory comes up now.
And if it was Care Bears, I'd probably think that's equally as terrifying.
Right?
But, you know, this is what happens with some people's experiences. A lot of time in childhood, we're surrounded by these cartoons, these figures, these imagery and stuff. And a lot of times this is what people would see. They'd see things that they're familiar with in some way or another. And it does seem suggest that something's being masked and kind of showing you something that you could probably accept, you know, easily accept.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Like it's not my story of the Care Bears. It was her story. She brought me into her world of her stories with her Care Bears. And I was just happy to be going along for the ride. Like, yeah. So, yeah, it was, you know, I'm sure if it was my story, it would have been like, yo, the Autobots are pulling up. We're about to roll out Decepticons. You know, we're about to do some Transformers on you, you know. But it was her story, so we got Care Bears. But I'm telling you, Nick, if you watch that episode of the Care Bears with the braces, and you'll just see how eerily weird it is. Just picture the Care Bears and the cloud car, the UFO, just picture that, and it all makes sense. But no, seriously, this is some real stuff that really happened, and just weird being a part of it.
What I'll do is, I've made a note of that, actually, and I will put the episode below so people can go check out that episode. I must admit, I never really watched Care Bears, but I do remember them from the 80s. But, you know, like I said, uh-huh. It's, you know, obviously you'd had some kind of connection in any case, because you'd had these experiences and these sightings before. So whether she dragged you into her experiences, or if you're already having them, if you made some kind of connection there. And also it'd be interesting to know if, be a woman now, but if her experiences carried on.
Yeah, I would love to meet her and talk with her now, but I don't even have a name. I don't have a name.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe she discovered the podcast and maybe she's listening. So if you are out there, then get in contact.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Because I got so many questions for that incident.
Yeah, I bet you do. But it's a reoccurring theme when people had the contact experiences. It is masked in some way or another. So something, you know, you're familiar with or something, which makes it easier for a child to digest.
That is very true. That's very true. A quick side note, beyond this whole, all these experiences, my older sister has told me that she has had UFO abduction experiences herself when she was younger in Puerto Rico. But that's her story to tell. If she ever wants to talk about it, she can. So I just thought, okay, well, my older sister had this experience. I've had these experiences. I'm wondering if my little sister had these experiences, but she never said anything that she's had that experience.
And have you ever asked her?
Yeah, I've asked her if she said if she had anything, but she said no. Like, she's never had anything that she can recall. Now, if you ask me personally, I think all of us, since we're in the womb or since when we're born, I believe that all of us have experiences with otherworldly creatures, otherworldly beings, you know, some things that we can't really explain. But I think we do have these experiences from a child, and I think they're just masked, like you just described. I think they are masked, and we just need to distinguish them, to decipher them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, the show's always welcome to your sisters. You know, if they do listen to this, you know, they're always welcome. And maybe, you know, they might have an extra piece, might be able to answer some questions for you. But, you know, Puerto Rico, you know, there's a lot of things happen down there. You know, there's a lot, I get a lot of stories from that part of the world.
Yeah, I did just hear your one of your episodes, you had the sisters, the Puerto Rican sisters, and they were talking about their experience. That was pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, Franny and her sister, yeah, that's right.
But I'm so grateful for your show, man.
I'm glad you like it. And, you know, a lot of people get a lot of comfort for the show. But Jamie, you know, you're obviously very spiritual. You know, you have your crystals and you do meditation and stuff. Is there any techniques that you maybe practice on a regular basis?
Well, for me, when I meditate, I definitely have to be comfortable. So I sit on two little, those pillows that come with the sofa, like on the sofa, the small square ones. Like I'll sit on two of those and I don't put my legs like crossed together or I'm losing circulation. I let them loose. Like I just let them be relaxed. Like they're not even touching. One leg is not even touching the other leg. They're just comfortable enough that blood's flowing, not going numb on me during the middle of my thing. And I'll meditate for like an hour in that position with my hands on my knees. You know, if I'm pinching my thumb to my index finger with the three fingers pointed out on both hands. And sometimes I'll hum, I'll do the om, just to get my mind vibrating and stuff like that. But most of the time, my technique is breathing. I'll, you know, breathe deeply through my nose, and then I'll breathe softly out through my mouth. And I'll just focus on the breathing, just to focus on the breathing and the humming, the light humming when I'm in the zone. That stuff would help me meditate for a while. And before you know it, I've been sitting there for an hour meditating like nothing.
And as you've had, you know, you've had out of body experiences before, and, you know, obviously this is definitely something you can tap into.
Yeah. Once you start doing research on meditation, guidance of meditation, and then you start research on out of body experiences, you kind of prepare yourself to know what to do next time you're in that situation. For that, those moments that I was going down in the bulkhead looking for a place to take a leak, I ended up seeing Jen down there. To me, that was a big significant thing, a feature about that setting was the microwave where that was and the freezer where that was, because the microwave was where at the entrance of this realm. The microwave resembles, like represents heat, you know? And at the end of it was the chest freezer. And that represents cold, freezing, like almost death, if you would, you know? And Jen was at that side. Now, the funny thing about this, I'm probably talking sideways here, going in a tangent, but I should have mentioned this before. So come to find out, Jen is buried on top of her mom at a cemetery in Andover, Massachusetts. She's buried on top of her mom. So when I went and spoke to her and caught up with her in this underground realm, she was in a room. There was two beds. There was one for her and one for her mom. She said that her mom don't come out that much. You know, so just to recall that moment in time where I was speaking to her in that realm, and then to put it all together that she is buried on top of her mom. Like I was there with her in the same room with her and her mom. And there was a chest freezer by the door. Those are like red flags right there. Like where I was coming from was where the microwave was. And I couldn't read the time on it. It was digital. I could not read the time on it at all. I couldn't make sense of it. So I was in a whole other world right there.
And it's also symbolistic, isn't it? I mean, I even actually wrote down when you were talking microwave and freezer. So, you know, like you said, the microwave represents heat. And when you have heat, you have warmth. And that's life, isn't it? And, you know, then you approach the freezer, which is cold, which signifies no life, you know, death. So unusual, very symbolistic experience.
Like, we need to stop and look at the details of everything that's going on around us, because there's little clues. And that's what it was. Like, when I was talking with Mr. O about our experiences, and I said, let me try to think about my whole life and recall all these instances, because there was a lot of clues dropped. And I may have overlooked that. I may have overlooked other clues. Lots of symbolistic things going on in everything.
We just need to pay attention more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, Jamie. That's fascinating.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Paranormal experience. You know, a lot of time we put down to dreams, because it seems to be that when we are visited by, you know, past friends and relatives, they do come to us in dreams. You know, if they can't come to us physically and move stuff and make noises, they come to us in dreams, which they do. I know many people, including myself, which have had people visit them in dreams.
Yeah, very interesting stuff, man. I'd like to know more about dreams. I'd like to get connected more into that understanding of what they are, what they mean, and stuff like that. So if anybody knows about that stuff, let me know. Because I've had reoccurring dreams where I'm flying, and they're always where I'm flying them, and it's like a bouncing. Like, why am I going back down, bouncing back up, trying to stay afloat. But I go down like a roller coaster, and then boom, hit the ground, come bouncing back up. I've had this one reoccurring dream where I'm standing. It's almost as if you're at a bridge, like just say you're at the London Bridge or something, and then you can look straight ahead and you can see that you go walk straight across and you end up on the other side of the bridge. But if you get off the bridge and go slightly to the side, so you can see the side of the bridge, but you can see it's going over water. I find myself on the side of the bridge, just looking over the edge. I see myself looking in the water. And in the water, there's so much life and so many creatures moving around. Like, I could see the whales, I could see the manta rays, I could see the starfish, I can see the dolphins, the sharks, the hammerheads, I can see them all. They're all swimming along, and I'm just looking at it in awe. Like, wow, this is beautiful. And then this is just a reoccurring dream that's been going on for a long time in my life. And it comes to the moment where I think to myself, am I going to jump over this edge and go down there into that water? No, that's ludicrous. I'm not going to do that. But that whole bouncing feeling occurs, and I find myself flying over the water. And then it's like the bouncing part. So now I'm going down, and I'm trying to stay afloat, like trying to stay up out of the water. But then I go right down into the water, and I'm submerged into that life. And then, out of nowhere, I'm coming back up. But when I come back up for air, it's like I open up a hatch, like as if you're in a basement, you climb in the stairs, like vertical, straight up stairs, and you find the hatch, and you open the hatch. And when I open the hatch, that's me coming out of the water, and I'm in the water, and I could see there's water all around me, but I just came out of this hatch, and I'm looking back down, and it's dry, and I can go back down underneath dry and just close the hatch under above me. The weirdest thing. And it's a reoccurring dream. It always happens. And I have no clue what that means. It's just weird to pop out in the middle of the ocean from a hatch.
And this is a dream you've had several times, and it's always been the same.
Yep. All the time. Like, I mean, I haven't had this dream like within 5 years or so, but why am I recalling a dream and with vivid memory from like my teenage years? That happened a lot. Like, it happened a lot back then, not now, but back then it reoccurred constantly. Matter of fact, there was this one reoccurring dream that I had back like in 2010 to 11 to 12, like for several years, I had this one reoccurring dream while I was driving in like a sport utility vehicle, like a little SUV, you know, not like a big monster truck or anything like that. But a sports utility vehicle. I'm driving along, and I look to the side, and I see somebody that catches my eye. And then when I look back forward in traffic, I'm about to crash. And I wake up just as I'm about to crash. This dream used to happen constantly, constantly, constantly. Used to have this dream. And then one night, I'm in Massachusetts. I'm hanging out with one of my cousins in Worcester. And I leave his house. They was having a party. I showed up after work. They were having a party. I showed up. We're hanging out, you know, drinking and smoking, whatever. I fell asleep at the party. You know, I had a long day at work. I was, you know, at work. So I didn't want to be that guy who fell asleep at the party. So I was like, all right, let me get up. Let me get out of here. And I left. Now, when I left, I'm driving home and I fell asleep driving home. And I recall having a conversation with myself at this moment. Conversation went like this. Said, Jamie, you need to straighten your steering wheel out. And I said, no, I'm on a curve and I'm driving. I need to go right. And they said, no, you need to straighten out your steering wheel. And I repeated myself, no, I'm turning. I'm turning. I'm turning. Next thing you know, I woke up because I fell asleep driving. And I woke up, crashed behind two trees. My car is totaled. Turned out I was on a curve on a road. I was curved, but the curve stopped and it goes straight. So technically, I should have straightened out my wheel, but I didn't listen to myself. And I kept turning and I turned into the woods. Scraped the side of my car, peeled up like a can of sardines, and head on into like two trees. I woke up out of that without a scratch on me. And it was when I woke up, I swore I was in a dream. I swore nothing was real. Like everything around me was not real. Tried to pinch myself, calm myself down, called my girlfriend at the time, and she came and confirmed that I'm okay and everything like that. And I just waited for the tow trucks and the car was totaled. But it just goes on to show that that reoccurring dream of me driving along in my Porsche utility vehicle, it was a Subaru that I was actually crashed in, a Forester. It was telling me that I was going to be distracted one way or another driving and then crash and I wake up. And that's exactly what happened in real life. I woke up right after the crash, you know, and I don't dream every night. But if I do, I'm trying to write it down, trying to decipher it. Sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's something else. Because there was not too long ago, I had a dream that I saw somebody that I haven't spoke to in over a decade. I haven't spoke to this person. And we didn't really leave off on a good note. So when I saw them pop up in my dream, I just ignored them. I didn't pay them no mind. So I just looked the other way. I was talking to somebody in the dream. And then over my shoulder, I noticed this person. And I saw them and like, oh shit. Like, and then I just looked back the other way and kept in my conversation. The very next day, Nick, at work, that dude that I haven't seen in over a decade showed up, walking by me at work. And I stopped him and I said hello and we took a picture and, you know, chopped it up for a minute. But it's the weirdest thing. Like, it came to me in a dream, this person, and I'm seeing him less than 24 hours later.
That's crazy. So he was a customer or?
Yeah, he was a customer at the store that I work at. Yep.
Yeah, that is crazy, isn't it? Yeah, like I said, you know, it just goes to show. Mm-hmm. Always pay heed to your dreams and, yeah, do what you do, you know, have a notebook next to the bed, writing down and see if, you know, mm-hmm. see if you can decipher them. Because obviously imagery and stuff in dreams is going to be different for different people. But write them down and you could find out some interesting stuff in them.
Yeah, and this is, like, honestly, I really don't know if it's because I meditate a lot, you know, because I was having these reoccurring dreams as a teenager. And yeah, I started to meditate then, but I wasn't into crystals and things like that. I wasn't heavily into it. I just knew I wanted to do more of it. For my martial arts class, they wouldn't have us meditate for 1 minute. And it was never enough for me. I wanted more and more and more because it just feels so good once you get into that state. So I don't know if, you know, having these clear thoughts during dreams is because of meditation or maybe because I don't drink alcohol, I don't consume that stuff no more, you know, been sober since 2016. So I don't know if it's just a clear mind meditation that says, all right, now I could have more focus when I'm dreaming or meditating, but I don't know, it's something helping.
Good stuff. Interesting. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And to our listeners out there, if you've had anything very similar to Jamie or you think you might have answers for Jamie, get in contact. We'd like to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody's episode gave me the strength and courage to come up here and speak my episode.
And in turn, when people hear yours, the same thing will happen. They will get the courage to then come forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a domino effect or like a snowball rolling down the hill. It just gets bigger and bigger. You know, people just pluck up courage.
Right.
And I've had guests on here which have never told anyone. You've heard it yourself. You know, I've had guests on here which they're in their 70s, you know, and they had their experience decades ago. You know, they've never shared it with anyone. Mm-hmm. No family, no loved ones, anyone. And they hear someone on the show and they're like, I can do this. You know, I can tell someone. And, you know, they might have a particular job, you know, high profession, you know, where if people found out about their experience, they'd be shunned, you know, by their coworkers and peers. So that's, you know, that's why we go anonymous now and again for some people. But like I said, someone will hear your account and in turn they will come forward.
Like, I have no problem telling my account. But recently, when I was getting ready to, getting excited to get them on, come on your show, I told a couple people, and they started laughing at me, like, really? UFOs? Really? And I'm like, what? Like, I'm serious. I'm not joking around. I've really seen the stuff. You can look at me all you want, funny, but, you know, just got to keep moving. I can't, I'm not going to wait to try to impress these other people. I'm just going to still tell my story. That's what each and every one of us need to do, just tell our story, no matter how weird it is.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people which have mocked people for having these experiences, and then it later turns out they've had an experience themselves. You know, people don't want to be the one that have the finger pointed at them. People don't want to be separated from the group, do they? You know, they don't want to be laughed at. They don't want to be ridiculed. They'd rather be the ones doing the ridiculing. So it doesn't surprise me in the least that there are so many people out there which won't share it because they don't want to be separated from the pack.
Mm-hmm. And for me, it really was, I just forgot about it. I forgot about all this stuff until they just had to jog my memory a couple times, and then someone else reminded me of things, and now it's just a whole bunch of things that just keep popping up. Like every day I remember something else, like another dream or another experience or something that just didn't seem right. You know, I got to look back at that memory and think about it. A lot of things. I firmly believe that since our childhood, we've been experiencing things that we just don't really have a good grasp on what it was, what we experienced, because we just think it was a regular stuffed animal that fell off the thing. But really, did it jump? Did it, you know, was it pushed? Was it something else? Was there a shadow? There's so many things going on in this world that we still have no clue about.
Yeah, exactly. Big time. You know, then you got your parents that say to you, oh, no, it's just a dream. You know, you just having a nightmare or something. But, you know, Jamie, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it, too. It's been great to have me.
It's been great speaking to you, all right? Keep us updated, all right? And I will talk to you soon.
All right. You have a good day, Nick.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Jamie. Bye for now. That's all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Jamie for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.